This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries, and powered by the law offices of Pond, Lehocky, Stern, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. It's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
And a good evening, everybody, and welcome in to Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. We're presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, powered by Pond Lahaki. We're fueled by our good friends at the Sonesta Hotel, and we're driven by Chapman Ford. We welcome you in to what may be the most important show that we've done in 2018 to date. It's our special 1 hour with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, joining us along with J-Doc. I'm Joe Krause. We welcome you into the show. And Pat, following the Tuesday election, this is the first opportunity that you get to use this megaphone and use the power of Talk Radio 1210 WPHT to rally the troops, send the message, reflect on the results from Tuesday, because as we look ahead to November, all hands on deck, I think, are going to be the battle cry.
Well, Joe, the election, we've had a little bit of time now to let it go by and reflect on it, and I will tell you that we've had some losses, but they weren't losses that we could have really, in some cases, really expected to win because of the uphill battle. And one in particular I'm talking about is the 5th Congressional District. You know, our guy Rich Laser deserved to win. He would be a great congressperson. He would be a fantastic congressperson. In some ways, selfishly, I'm almost happy that he's still with us, because as far as the deputy mayor for labor in the city of Philadelphia, he's been fantastic. He's moved more working people's issues in the short period of time he's been there than many years that have gone by in the past administration. So, you know, we hopefully welcome Rich back. But we put ourselves together. We had a new congressional district, and listen, we're happy that somebody along the line, in this case the Supreme Court, took the stand to try to correct something, this gerrymandering has been going on for so long, that was so unfair, and you can see it from state to state to state where it took place. It really took the right of folks to vote. In fact, probably discouraged them not even to vote, because they, no matter how often they went to the polls, they couldn't get their candidate because of the gerrymandering. So that's the good thing. We always hate to lose. We hate to lose anybody that we're putting our efforts in. And I have to tell you, Labor put probably 120% into Rich Laser. But you had an area called Delaware County.
Sure.
That, quite honestly, was the biggest part of that district. And it was tough to override. I mean, even with all the candidates there, we knew that the feeling down in Delaware County is they wanted, A, somebody from Delaware County, and I'm not too sure it's A and B, but B, a woman. And that's a movement that's on, and I don't disagree with it. It's a good movement. You know, we have other folks that ran and won, and that's great for us. Madeline Dean will be our candidate, and she'll be a great candidate. So, It's always hard to reflect on some things that you put so much effort and time in. We were a little disappointed that the other folks in Delaware County were portraying this as big labor from Philadelphia, isolating us as some sort of bad people, I guess, in the tone of it. Maybe not so much in the vernacular, but in the tone of it. And I think that's sad. I said, because, you guys know, and the radio audience knows, when we get a chance to talk about it, we do some great work out there. And to take an election and put it in that, categorize it that way, is a shame. We'll welcome Richie back. We'll miss Mary Gay Scanlon Luck. Who knows how it'll go in Delaware County. Delaware County has historically been a county where you pretty much saw Republicans win in most of the prime elections. And that's with a lot of Democrats down there. But I'll have to tell you that, you know, even in the labor movement, there's a mixture of how folks vote in the primary. And you can only vote for your candidate in Pennsylvania, I mean, your party in Pennsylvania. And so it made a difference. We have a couple congressmen, folks that, you know, that we're able to keep and will keep, and Dwight Evans and Boyle. So we've got some good things. We had some interesting pieces in the election where even though we had endorsed candidates, many positions that ran were not necessarily 100% together on, meaning labor. There, the 177th, there was a split there as to who folks were supporting, and Kilkenny was the endorsed candidate, but there were other good candidates there, and it was proven by the election. And some of the other unions had Borsky and Hornstein and other folks in there, and the same thing with down in South Philadelphia. You had the same thing in the 184th. Elizabeth Fielder is a great candidate. She wasn't our endorsed candidate, but when you have good candidates that are running for a position, the good thing about that is you don't lose. You may not get your favorite, but you don't lose. So we have a lot of work ahead of us come November. There's a guy named Wagner who hates us, and I don't know that we would use that term, but we're not real thrilled with him. He'd like to do away with a lot of labor unions. He certainly doesn't agree with the public sector having a right to have collective bargaining. It's going to be a challenge. He comes from York County, which is kind of odd because so does our sitting mayor, governor rather. But things change in those areas, and the lieutenant governor position, kind of an interesting one. You know, Fetterman, we met with him when he was running for right here in these offices when he ran for Senate, and he's a very, very, very bright guy. His demeanor and looks come a little bit different than what you're used to. You won't see him with a three-piece suit and a tie, but let me tell you something. When you sit down and talk to the gentleman, he's a very bright man. He's very aware of what's going on. And I think in a way, there's only a couple days, but in a way, as we calculate and see where we're going forward, no disrespect to Lieutenant Governor Stack, but this guy may very well bring some votes to Governor Wolf because he comes from the western part of the state, pulls a lot of votes from that area. And when you get a couple people running from both parts of the state, that's kind of a good thing. So, I know Wednesday wasn't a happy day for a lot of people, but we did good work. And as folks would say, and the head of the building trades, John Dockery, would say, listen, we got some ward leaders. We did a heck of a show for an uphill battle when it came to the 5th. So we're not embarrassed.
And when you just a minute to go into the break, Jay Doc, so I'll give you a chance to re-ask just a minute before we get to the break.
When we talk, and you talk about Rich Laser and what a great guy he is, but also the number of candidates that ran in that situation. I mean, I think how many were in that race? I think was it 10?
I think there were 10. Yeah,
yeah. Richie. I mean, we love Richie. We're proud of him. Great job that he does. And certainly the redistricting was one of the first things that came to mind when it happened. When we come back, Pat, I wanted to kind of go over what it takes, what it's like to have labor out in full force at the election.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. It's a special show with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, who's joining us. A lot of ground to cover on the big show on this Saturday as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll get into all of that after we take our first commercial break. Back in a moment.
I won't participate on behalf of ourselves here at Local 98 or the Philadelphia Building Trades in conversations that are purely dominated on social issues that don't affect our jobs.
Back here live on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, along with Jay Doc, I'm Krause, and of course the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, for his monthly show, a one-hour sit-down with the president, Jay Doc, and a lot of ground to cover post-election on this Saturday, but a lot of ground to cover as we move forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to congratulate Danny Batter and Pat staff here at the AFL-CIO for doing another great job. Danny's the campaign manager here at the AFL-CIO. And, you know, when you think about what Labor does, especially when it comes to the elections, Pat, what does it take to get Labor out in full force? What, you know, you're out there, you know, you're covering a large area. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think the most important thing, and you fellas have heard me say this time and time again, the candidate that we're putting most of the effort for has to be recognized as somebody who cares about working people. Somebody has shown that they care about working people. And by the way, we'll continue if they're fortunate enough to get elected. So, you know, in this situation, we had a lot of good candidates. And there were, you know, the interesting thing that happens at times, especially in primaries, is that you have Labor sometimes going in two different directions, sometimes three different directions, because whatever their reasons are. You know, if it's the school teachers, it may be something that somebody did some legislation in the past that was not good for teachers. And you know, building construction trades are going to go for folks who are going to move the economy. They're going to build things and do things like that. And they're going to fight for their rights. And, you know, we have a lot of things changed in the labor market and labor world, especially labor laws, the way they're interpreted. But so you're always fighting for somebody. So when you have that candidate, which was Richie Lazor, what that did for us in this case and in other cases like that, it buoys us to get the troops rallied. And what's good about that is you have the overflow. So you may be fighting like heck for somebody who's running for Congress, but because you have the people out and you have the energy going, those other folks that maybe a state house or maybe, you know, those kinds of jobs that maybe always wouldn't get everybody excited to get them out. In this case, and, you know, in Delaware County especially, where there's a lot of split that has happened through the years, through the history. You know, Senator Pileggi was somebody that was supported by a lot of labor for a long time. Republican, you couldn't move that person out, you know, for all those years, a lot of that. And as time changed and you have folks who are living in those areas, especially Delaware County, kind of flowing towards another party, which in this case is starting to build in the Democratic side. But we still have, from the old school, we still have union members that are registered both ways. So you might have a union that has half their members in Delaware County registered Republican, half the Democrat. But when you get a candidate like Rich, where all labor sees him as a friend of working people, they all come together. And, you know, there were hundreds and hundreds through the last few weeks of people out there putting door signs up and knocking, not so much knocking on doors yet, but putting door hangers up and putting signs up. And then, as you spoke of Danny, as this was going on, putting his group together where we can recognize every union household. And our theory is if we knock on every union household and get them to come out to vote along with their family, we got a good shot of having a candidate who's labor-friendly, who's worker-friendly, winning. And in this case, even though we had a strange geographical area to overcome, we had the people out there. And those we had folks who registered Democrat for a day. You know, they moved over. And we've done this before. But getting them excited really starts with the fact that we recognize the candidate cares about us and will care about us. So that's a big thing.
I want to fast forward, Pat, and stay with that theme and now talk about November with Wagner going up against Wolf. Lou Barletta is going to go against Casey. I think, from my perspective, that theory of getting each union household out and getting their families out in support has never been more important than now.
Joe, you're absolutely right, and you probably have heard a little bit, and I'm sure Joe Dock has. Uh-huh. We have been talking about this governor for a long time. We know that if somebody like Wagner would get into office with the both parties being so far to the right, that we would be in one of those states that would probably be looking down the throat of a right-to-work state. And I have to tell you, that's nothing more than taking rights of collective bargaining away from people. They can call it anything they want, but that's what it is. So we're already ready to recognize that person that I just talked about. In this case, it might have been Richie Lazor. But I have to tell you, it's never been anybody but Governor Wolf. And, you know, whether you're talking to John Dock or you're talking to Anthony Gallagher from the trades, you're talking to somebody from the teachers, everybody knows that we need to have Governor Wolf in there again. So you won't see, you know, that election might have been a couple days ago, but you won't see anybody slipping here. We're going right away. I mean, there was a big lunch just the week before the election for Governor Wolf, and there'll be others. There's one at the end of this month that business is having. There's a tremendous recognition here how important Governor Wolf is to the economy and to working people. And I think the thing that we have to concentrate on with this guy Wagner, who claims he's going to pull that party together. That party hasn't been together for years in this state. So what we have to do is make sure that our people, our members and their family recognize who the enemy is in this situation. You know, both houses up in the state of Pennsylvania have stopped Governor Wolf from moving anything for the schools, moving anything for the economy that should be, anything that somebody like the first-class city like Philadelphia does, they want to try to stop it. For example, paid sick leave for people. This is what we're up against. So having that target there just takes us right from Richie Lazor now to the governor's race. And as far as Senator Casey is a different kind of candidate because he doesn't appear as though he's always got that fight in him. But I got to tell you, I got to know Bob Casey over the years, and he is steadfast in the right direction. And he never wavers from us. He never excuses himself from walking down the street with labor. Listen, it was only a couple of weeks ago he stopped in here and we had a sit-down one-on-one with the senator of the United States. I mean, you know, a little fat kid from Kensington, and we're sitting down talking because that's who Bob Casey is. We have to keep reminding our members who Bob Casey is. If we do that and we talk to our members, Bob Casey gets reelected. Governor Wolf gets reelected, and we start moving some things in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think of Scott Wagner. Obviously, red flags go up everywhere, especially if you're working people. But Joe, like you just mentioned to Pat, I don't think there's, and we're always in crisis mode. And you know, when you're dealing with far right wing individuals, this guy's the worst. Pat, we've talked about him many times on the show. What do you think it's going to take, for us to be heard on election day and get the word out to our members that this is the most important election of our lifetime in the labor movement here in Pennsylvania?
Well, you know what, Joe? If we do that election day, it's too late.
Right.
We have to be doing that right now, and we have to expose Wagner for what he is. Listen, he's made all his millions of dollars collecting trash from the municipalities of Pennsylvania. On our backs, he's made his millions of dollars, and now he's going to say he's going to correct everything that's wrong up in Pennsylvania. He's been a senator for how long? He hasn't corrected a darn thing up there. All he's done is try to tear things down. Everything the governor's done, he tried to tear it down. It's not unlike, this guy's in the White House. Everything he does, it's against our past president. Well, he didn't do that. It's about a person. I didn't know Wagner that well before I started seeing what was coming out of him. But I got to tell you, what we have to do is expose to our members that this guy is probably worse than who's sitting in the White House. Now, I know a lot of our working members voted for Trump, but I think they're seeing for what it is. And guess what? Within the throes of this year, I think you're going to see, the gas prices are going to go sky high, things, all these wonderful things that the president's talking about. If this is where Wagner's going to run and run on his coattails, then we got to expose that. But the key to everything, Joe, is to talk to our members now,
right?
Not wait until, September, Labor Day is when it kicks off. Baloney. It kicks off right now because it's too important.
And even for members that may have voted for Trump and voted for the president, this is different. This is the livelihood of all union members at stake right now in the hands, or in the future of Wagner, should he defeat Wolf and get in.
And Joe and Joe, listen, it's not just union members, because if you see what's happening in this country with OSHA and protection for people and the companies that are making people, the gig economy that's making people go in, they're all owners, they're not working, they have no workman's comp, they have the, you know, this guy delivering at Spring Garden Street last week got killed. He's got nothing coming to him. His family's got nothing coming to him because they list him as an independent contractor. That shouldn't be. Working people shouldn't be forced to be able to get a bike and go into their own business because they can't get a job someplace, or they can't get a job that has some protections with it, health care and those kinds of things. And that's what you have in Pennsylvania, and it's getting worse. And I think we and everything you try to do to change that, you know, Terzi or somebody else who's the ally of this guy Wagner, it puts a wall up and stops it. So that's the stuff, the message we have to say. And you're right, Joe. This is home. This is not the White House. One of our mistakes we've made over the last few years, we worried about who's going to be in the White House, and we didn't worry about who's going to be governor. And you see that in Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio and those places. That's what happened. And between the gerrymandering and losing focus as to what your home state is, you saw what's happened to working people across the country.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll take a commercial break. We'll continue with Pat Iding when we come back.
I believe there's room, okay, for the national building trades, the local building trades that have partnerships with the Trump administration as it pertains to energy, as it pertains to infrastructure, as it pertains to the undocumented worker.
Program reminder for our listening audience over Memorial Day weekend, tune into a special rebroadcast of our Labor Leader Roundtable from the Sonesta last 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, Jay Doc. We'll replay that for our listening audience over Memorial Day weekend and then return the following week as we roll along into the month of June.
Absolutely, and that was a great show.
Great roundtable.
Absolutely. Pat, let's talk about the rebuild, what's going on with the mayor and city council at this point.
Well, I think the bottom line is nothing's going on, and that's the problem with it. There's a program here. The mayor has worked very hard to put together through a lot of fighting and due diligence and criticism, to put money together to at the very least help kids in school, but also to get some rec centers and libraries back to where there's some kind of an institution where people can go there and enjoy them. They're in terrible disarray. There's so much work has to be done. So part of the program was that we're also going to try to see if we can't help some folks get into the building construction trades unions, because the misnomer that folks like different people, John Christmas and other people who don't know the first thing about construction, including Cindy Bass, haven't taken a minute to find out how construction works. They're trying to drive folks into this building rebuild thing for failure. Just to say that somebody worked a couple days on a construction job belongs in a union that can't read or do math to make sure that they can move themselves forward, get through 5 years of training, and have a good, meaningful job. Because the one thing that people don't recognize, who don't take a minute to understand, is that the union, once somebody comes through the union doesn't put anybody to work. All they do is make sure the collective bargain is here too, and people are working safely. The people who put the work are the contractors. And I will tell you this, there's not a contractor out there in business, if somebody shows up on a job and can't keep up with the work, is going to keep them. So what you do is you force somebody in who can't do the work, and the next thing you know, they're out of work. Sure. And the next thing you know, that'll be blamed on the unions that they're out of work. So what John Doherty and the building trades have done is sat down with the mayor and the mayor's administration, come up with a way that they can do both. Get this rebuild job done and also try to help some folks get into the trades. Now, if it's somebody who says that they were working, I hate to use plumber, but use it as a plumber, and they think they are, then what the building trades is suggesting, we take that person and we put them to the training program and let the coordinator evaluate at what level are they. And if they've done enough work, they're equivalent to somebody who would be a second-year apprentice, then plug them in at that level so they can learn the rest of the trade. And then once they come out of their 4 or 5 years, whatever the case is, they have a good, meaningful living. And so that's the design plan. The building trades under John Doherty, not Local 98 only, like the paper implied last week, but John Doherty and the building trades sat down and said with the mayor, we'll make this work. through Redevelopment Authority, folks will come to work, and then some of them will be folks that are just going to work, that we will help them get into an apprentice program. Now, understand how complicated it is when there's a small union, you can give out over 1,000 applications, and less than 100 come back.
Sure.
And those are the people who are going to say, we won't let them in. Well, they didn't try.
Right. And what I think, and I've been wondering this the whole time, was the union, Pat, and this is important for people to understand, like you just said, but still, make it, the union is not the employer. Okay, and so some people have you know, the misunderstanding that. But let's take it a step further, and this is my question: you have in any particular construction union, 1,000. Let's talk about my union, the Ironworkers Union. You know, the union that I'm a member of. We have 1,000 members, and everybody's working. Now, I may not know the exact understanding of the actual agreement that the city is looking for, but let's just say you have a specific amount of employee members that live in an area where one of those libraries is being done. If those let's just say I'm working on the Walt Whitman Bridge on a 3-year long job, okay, then and the business manager calls me up and says, listen, we want you to go down and work on that library for the next 3 weeks, because that's what the job is. It's a library. Or it, for example, I'm just being realistic, and I might say, listen, I really appreciate it. I live in that neighborhood, and it's fantastic, but I got a 3-year-long job here. I'm working on a Walt Whitman
Bridge.
Well,
what's the point?
They want people from the neighborhood working.
It's not just that, Joe. It's what they're saying, in effect, is if somebody says that they worked in some sort of construction, they should automatically become a union member. And you have to understand, there's different grades of union. There's journey persons. And there's apprentices. And a journey person, once a person's a journey person, has to be able to do any phase of that business. It doesn't matter whether it's 150 foot in the air in a refinery or it's in a school basement. They have to be able to do all that. They have to have a driver's license to be able to get to work. If the employer comes down to somebody working in Center City and says to the worker, listen, I need you in Rorschach for Pennsylvania tomorrow, the person can't say, well, I can't get there, I don't have a license or a car. The employer will say, well, I don't need you then. I need you where I need you. There's a whole lot of complexities. And here's the sad part about it. I only know of 4 city council persons who have taken their time, and Derek Green has really put themselves into this, taken their time to go around and go to some of these apprentice programs and find out what exactly it is to be one of these tradespeople. So, I'm going to name a couple. Derek, Sherelle Parker, Bob Heenan, and Mark Squilla. If somebody else has done anything more than to investigate how the construction well works, God bless, I'd like to hear their name. But I got to tell you, one hasn't. Cindy Bass hasn't.
Well, I mean, and what I'd want to hear from is the union contractor. For example, Pat, unions can make the best efforts possible to give out opportunities, but you can't make somebody, you can't make somebody keep somebody. So let me give you, so if somebody comes on and does a great job, that's the goal, and it's awesome, and they're qualified, and that's what everybody wants. But what happens if somebody comes on and they're late for work 3-4 days in a row, they come in, or they don't understand specific areas, and the contractor fires them? Unions, at least my union, I can only go with my own, everybody's different, but if somebody's wrongly, fired, you'll get the agent out there and they'll fight for you, and they'll do the best they can to obviously make the wrong right. But if somebody gets fired for a legitimate reason by a contractor, there's no way to get them rehired onto the job. I don't care if you're in the union or not. So if you're putting unqualified individuals on a job and that happens, I'd love to hear from the union contractors that are going to be actually hiring these individuals.
Well, they don't want to get into the fray because they think it's politics. But here's the other side of this. If the city council put half their effort that they're doing to stop this project into the school district to find out why we have kids graduating from CTE schools, which are supposed to be our premier schools now, classes, and out of 45 kids that were selected for this program that we're doing to get new kids in the union, only 12 out of 45 could read or do math over 7th grade. Now, there's something wrong with that, because guess what? They're not going to be able to be an electrician or a pipe fitter if they can't read and do math over 7th grade. So what are you getting them ready for? Well, we should be putting our energy, and city council should be putting our energy in, make sure these kids come out of school and they graduate, that they can do at least 10th grade reading and math. And that may they may be able to that then they may be able to make it into trade. Because if we force kids in that can't do those things, they're going to fail. I mean, you know, listen, I know one particular local who took a gentleman in, loves him, they think he's great, you know, it's a, everything about him. He's already has some difficulties comprehending stuff, but they're going to work him through. But that's one person they can mentor. But when you start talking about, okay, my neighborhood, you have to take two or three people. If we can take them in, as the building trades and John Dockery suggested, evaluate them, take them in at the stage that they should be in their career, you know, and if it's a young person, let's take them in and do some, you know, there's a program going on with manufacturers, boot camp. Get people and be able to work with young folks or other folks to see what they need to be able to get into that industry, whether it's building construction trades or manufacturing.
It almost
needs help.
Logic tells you that you couldn't do it any other way.
Well, the cleanliness of theory is no match.
That's not one of the things you need for elected city council. You don't need logic, by the way. You need to think you're the mayor.
And my thought process is this. There's a commitment with labor, but there's also logistics, and reality has to jump in. So what are the answers that we get, Pat? What are we getting? What answers?
30 seconds, guys.
When we're talking to these city council people, saying, "What about this situation?"
They're saying my way or the highway, Joe. They're not working. They're not trying to understand.
What happens if somebody gets fired on the job and they go out and they can't? That's a question.
They'll just go on to another number because they could put that on their column that we won this one.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's a special one-hour show with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, along with J-Doc. I'm Krause, back in a moment.
I'm the coming out of stunt with them guys, okay? And I was a treasure to the Democratic Party. You know, I've been a loyal Democrat my whole life. But I've told people, and it hasn't just, like I told you, it just didn't resonate with this election. If you look at the last few years, I've been telling people we have to become a little bit more individual. We have to be more of our own brand.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do a better job at becoming a business.
Get your Memorial Day savings, your automotive savings. Call our good friend, Jim Stevenson at Chapman Ford. Friend of the union community for as long as he's been in the business, J-Doc.
Get to know him. Our man, Jim Stevenson.
Jim Stevenson. Call him for Memorial Day. He's got
and
great
stuff. And he's good looking, too,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, he is. And he's a member of the Union League, and he's a good golfer.
Not only, and Joe's always kind of teasing him, saying he loves to be on the air.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The last place Jim likes to be is on the air, but he's an unbelievable guy. Great, great, great to the union community.
So, listen, guys, we kind of vented a little bit. We went through our losses the other day and talking about rebuild, and I hope folks come together because your last question to me, Joe Doc, was how do you think this is going to wind up? I think if city council wants to really help people get into the various trades, they'll work with John Dockery in the building trades because they're ready to try to do some good work, and they're ready to try to help. But you know, we get into these arguments and these fights, but along the way, as you know, whether it's lift a vet or whatever, we run into some things. So I was introduced to a program called the Daniel Rump Foundation. Had no idea what it was, and it sounded like it was for kids. So you know me, if it's for kids, let's hear about it. So I guess a couple of weeks ago, Danny and I met with a representative of the Rump Foundation. And what it's about, and I'll do this as quick as I can because it's pretty deep. What it's about is having, you know, first of all, you have Daniel Rump as a young man who was playing basketball, went on to play the Western point guard at Western Kentucky University, and one day come off the court and died. It's happened here in numerous times. It's one of those mystery heart problems that folks don't know because they don't know until it happens. But what we've discovered is, or what the folks who handle this foundation is, there's a screening that can be done. It's an EKG, it's an echo, those kinds of things. And what they've done is they put this foundation together, along with Danny's mom, who, by the way, works in the community all the time, put this foundation together to make screening and CPR training available to people. in the rec centers. We come to find out that the, you know, most of the rec centers didn't have the ability or anybody to do CPR. They're doing some work getting equipment in those places, but mainly what they want to do is find kids in sports. Give them a screening, which doesn't, you know, and there's always that pushback. Nobody wants to find out something's wrong. But if the kids who are playing sports, and in this case in Philadelphia, we're talking basketball because that's Philadelphia, but it could be any sport, trying to allow them to get this screening that's pretty minimal as far as time and what have you, but it can save a kid's life because we have guys in the pros. You know, the guys from Boston have had it.
Well, Hank Gathers comes to mind. I don't know if that's the same exact situation, but whoever didn't see that, you know, whoever saw that, you know, would never forget it.
And Joe, the person who was Hank's coach last week when we met with these folks, the person came. We had a lot of labor leaders come and hear about this because we want to go and work with this. We want to see what the city can do. We want to help. It's about getting, and you'll hear more about it. It's about getting young folks who are in sports screened so they don't have this terrible thing where they drop dead. Gather's coach has never coached since that kid passed away because he can't. It still bothers him. He was at the recession we had. Hard to look him in the face and not make him fill up. There's great people working with this, not the least being Daniel Rump's mom. We'll bring you more information as we go on. But we want to find a way, and Wayne Miller was there the other day to talk about what the building trades do with the All-Star Labor Classic. We have all these kids. See whether we can't get that information there. And they have a fundraiser where pro basketball players come together and put an event on, you know. So we're just getting all the details. But I got to tell you, the other day when we had this breakfast with some of our labor leaders, there was a, I won't say there wasn't a dry eye, but it wasn't a sound, because this is just something that really should happen for kids. Even some of the parents don't want to see it because they don't want to find out something's wrong, especially if their kid's a football player, a basketball player, want to do it. But this is a great program. We're going to want to bring it to you some more as we flesh it out. But it, at the end of the day, it's finding a way to get folks who are in areas like playgrounds, rec centers, where kids are playing, are trained in CPR, number one. The other thing is to get the kids themselves through a screening program, which actually, basically, it goes to, you know, it's a cardiogram, basically, which is pretty simple. If it shows a little bit of a glitch, then they'll do an echocardiogram. And, you know, what it will say to a kid, don't play this sport because you have, the darn name eludes me right now, but there's actually a technical name for it. But that, it happens a lot more than people realize. Just in our area alone, you came up with a name right away.
Hank Gathers. And Loyola Marymount.
And the fellow from Boston, the pro basketball player, found out that he couldn't do it. You know, so, you know, this is there. And so what this group is doing, and, I just applaud the heck out of them. They're trying to make the awareness happen. But not only the awareness, let's get these kids screened. And so thought I'd throw that in. That's a good part of life. We could, city council, the mayor, we could all work on something like this.
Sure.
And get it done.
Well, you know what it is also, but for the grace of God go I or my child. And, when something hits, like you said, Daniel's mother is very active in this. Obviously, it happened to her son. And people don't want to. It's almost like hiding under the covers and finding out the bad man's still there. You're getting the screening is the most important thing. And anybody who saw that Hank Gathers, and Joe, you probably, and we even brought Bo Kimball on one of our shows before, and he talked about how absolutely devastating. It was his best friend. I think they both went to Muriel Dobbins High School, and then they went out to.
Well, I think when I'm sitting here thinking about what the labor community has done with the All-Star Labor Classic, 31 years now, a 31-year history of the All-Star Labor Classic that continues in this city, and certainly the ability to have some of that connection or some of that as a platform, Pat, I think is creates good potential for you to make some progress with this with this nonprofit. So,
well, and as you know, Wayne Miller and his predecessor, Mitch Klavan, have been involved in the All-Star Labor Classic from the very beginning. And he was at this thing last week or the other day. When he heard about it, he said right away, listen, we'll get this started at the building trades, you know, the All-Star Labor Classic maybe. And here's what he offered. He said, a lot of our training programs, there are people there trained to teach CPR. And he said, I'm sure that the unions will open up their doors for these kids if they get the kids to come. And so, you know, the motivation and the effort, that the name of it is called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. I can't even say it.
Sure, right.
I don't get it. But the trouble with it is, if there's no screening, kids are playing these games that don't know it. Do you know that many of our rec centers don't even have somebody there qualified in CPR or the equipment? They have nothing. And that can't be. I mean, we have kids playing there. If something happens to them, that could be the difference whether they make it or not, especially with this particular illness that nobody knows until the person falls over. So stay alert. We're going to have this come back, as we did with Lift a Vet, if you recall.
Sure.
Once we talked about it, folks realized that there's veterans out there that need an elevator or a chair. We're going to do the same thing with this. So I'm going to hound you folks about this. Make sure it stays on the air.
Yeah, good stuff. No, we'll
problem.
Keep it there, and we'll keep us updated. We'll keep everyone updated. 30 seconds. So, J-Doc, I can only give you 15, and then I'm going to give Pat the other 20.
Listen, after what just happened with the midterm elections, when we're talking about Scott Wagner, I want our rank-and-file union members to know we're in for the fight of our life. You know, come the fall and come our, you know, the election and the general election, and we have to really understand and get behind our labor leaders and get behind Governor Wolf.
Pat, 20 seconds.
Well, listen, let me just say that there's a lot of good things going on. We have a lot of folks that need jobs. We have a lot of kids graduating, need jobs. There's programs for the Philadelphia Works. Philadelphia Works is a group of workforce investment that is putting boot camps together. They're putting different programs together, working with employers, finding ways to get folks to work, not just in building construction, because that's a small amount of jobs. We're talking about manufacturers that are working with us. You have a whole lot of opportunities out there working with kids and other folks who are out of high school who need a job. So we're working together with the city and labor, and we're trying to get something done.
That's going to do it for Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, a special one-hour show with the president of the AFL-CIO, Pat Eining, gracious to join us for the full hour. From my partner, J-Doc, I'm Joe Krause, and on behalf of Pat Eining, see you next time, everybody.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.